holding absolutely nothing back. I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians this morning. We're going to be in chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you were not with us last Sunday, we did part one of our study, Joy of Generosity. And this is part two. Now, believe it or not, I know you're going to think as I get into these 15 verses, you're going to say, hey, Bill, this is Mama's Day, Mother's Day. I mean, I brought my kids or I forced them to come here or something. You know how it is. You're going to preach a Mother's Day message. Just hold on. I'm not through yet, am I? I haven't even started. So we'll see what God does during this sermon. But anyway, remember that last Sunday, part one, you know, we left behind, thank God, Paul's broken heart. He's no longer brokenhearted. We found him now full of joy and full of comfort in his heart. Matter of fact, it was overflowing. And the reason is because of the report that Titus brought unto him that the church at Corinth, now their hearts were broken. They repented over the way they treated Paul, believing the false teachers and all those horrible accusations that they made against him. And so now when we look at chapter 8 last week, chapter 9, remember that these two chapters begin the second major section in this little epistle called 2 Corinthians. And it's concerned, these two chapters, with an offering that's being taken up by Paul from the churches of Macedonia, and now the Corinthian church, to help the saints of Jerusalem that are suffering so from the great famine that is there. Now, chapters 8, which we covered last Sunday, if you were not here, I really encourage you to go online and watch the video. Chapters 8 and 9 are the most detailed information given in the New Testament on giving. So this is a very, very important Mother's Day word to all of us this morning. And we learned last time in chapter 8 that the joy of generosity is a direct result of the unmerited, unearned, unconditional, thank God, of the living grace of God. Amen? An unmerited favor toward us. Matter of fact, the word grace is used in these two chapters 10 times, no less. And we also learn that in chapter 8, that the Macedonian churches, remember, they begged Paul. I mean, they were begging Paul. Even in the midst of their deep poverty and their great affliction, they were being persecuted to the max. They were broke, loved one. They begged Paul with much urgency to be involved in this giving to the saints of Jerusalem who were suffering so. What an incredible, incredible church are the churches, those in the Macedonian area. Now, with all that being said this morning, you know, last Sunday I asked you a question. And I said, have you experienced the joy of generosity? Now, that's a very important word, and I pray that you have. Now, I'm going to ask you another question this morning. And that is, are you a cheerful giver unto the Lord God who saved us? Amen? Now, but here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to shut down. You know, we're talking about you think giving, aren't you? I know. And you that are listening live, don't turn me off. You got to get through the whole sermon, then you can turn me off. How's that sound? Now, with all that being said, the question this morning, again, are you a cheerful giver? You don't have to hide your wallet. You know, you're not going to know another offering is not going to be taken up. Okay, so I don't want you to fall apart because I'm not going to be talking about money. Okay, is that all right? But I should talk about it because I mean it's in the Word of God. Amen? So I'm not apologizing for it. I'm just trying to make you to relax just a little bit, okay? So I'm not talking about money, but I am going to talk about your heart concerning money. Amen? Why is that? Because if you pulled out your wallet, you pulled out a $100 bill, and you looked at it, and you'll notice something about your $100 bill if you have one on you, and that is this, or a $20 bill, or a $5 bill, that if the $5 bill doesn't have a heartbeat, it doesn't have a pulse, it doesn't have a personality, your money takes on your personality. And so that's why it's very important this morning that I'm going to talk again about your heart, because the only heart that your money has is your heart. And we're talking about giving this morning, yes, but about being a cheerful giver. And if it make you feel any better, let me tell you, everybody loves Billy Graham, right? He's with the Lord now, but this will soften your heart up a little bit. Let me tell you what Billy Graham said about this. He said this: give me 5 minutes with a person's checkbook, and I will tell you where their heart is. Good word, Billy. On this Mother's Day, as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, on the joy of generosity, part 2. Now concerning the ministry of the saints, meaning those that are suffering in Jerusalem, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Archaea was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, that's Titus, remember, and a couple of others, we don't know who they are, we've sent them lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that I said you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go ahead of time, prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you have previously promised, and here's the reason, that it may be ready. Paul says, I want the funds ready. When Titus arrives, we want to be able to get the money to Jerusalem, that it may be ready as how? As a matter of generosity, that joy of generosity, that incredible generous heart, if you will, and here it comes, and not as a grudging obligation. The Apostle Paul did not in any way think it was wrong to ask any of the churches for funds to help the poor. Amen? It's not unscriptural. Did you know that? And I know that many people, they get burned out. If you've been in some of the churches, they take up offerings after offering. They lock the doors. They search you now. You know what I'm saying? We don't do that here. You know better than that. But, you know, Paul didn't see any reason why he shouldn't be asking the churches. But here's the deal. And I don't want you to ever forget this. He said, but I'm not going to ask you the wrong way. I'm going to ask you to give the right way. And that is what is so important about that. And giving the right way is this, that we want to always give a heart offering unto God. We never want to give a guilt offering to God. Amen? Oh, that's why Paul said, look at that word. He says, a generous gift or a matter of generosity, and here it comes, not as a grudging obligation. That word in the Greek means this: I am going to apply pressure on you, man. I mean, I'm going to make you feel guilty. I'll do emotions. I'll do whatever I can to get the $5 in your wallet. Do you understand? It means to squeeze and to squeeze. That sounded like Nacho Libre, didn't it? Squeeze, you know. It's not a grudge. He says a grudging obligation. To squeeze an offering out of someone, or literally the word implies this: here is a Christian, and yet you're trying to tear that $5 out of his pocketbook because he is greedy. That's what that means. Remember, covetousness, loved one, is idolatry. Amen? Now, with all that being said, you know, that kind of asking, I pray you never forget this, because if you go to another church, or if you're whatever you're doing and you visit or something, never forget this. You know, that kind of asking, you know, squeezing you, that is not, or has absolutely no place in the church of the living God, okay? God did not call pastors or televangelists or anybody to squeeze you. Do you understand? That's not, and put pressure on you. You know, pressured giving, you know what pressured giving does? Pressured giving robs the believer. Did you know that? Why? Because you're giving out of your guilt, or you're giving grudgingly. I don't want to let go of it, but you just do it because, well, he said it, and I don't ever do anything anyway, and God says, listen, it's not going to profit you. You see, you're sowing your seed, if you will, or your gift to God, but you're sowing it the wrong way because you've been forced to do it. Does that make sense? You will never reap anything you give to the Lord when that is done to you, because you didn't give out of your heart. Does that make sense? Very, very, very important, loved one. Now, when we get to the next verse, verse 6, I promise you that Satan care, or the world, they don't care about verse 6. But what the devil doesn't want you to do in verse 6 is to act upon it. Now, look at this great scripture. It says, but this I say, Paul says, he says, he who sows sparingly will also reap what? Sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now listen to me. Do you really believe that scripture? Now let's be honest in our hearts, church. We're not religious here. Listen, that is an unbelievable scripture, isn't it? It's either true or it's false. But God cannot lie, okay? So that verse just said that we reap in the measure that we sow. Now listen carefully. This right here, this is not giving to get something from God. Boy, do you know that's a horrible thing? I'm going to sow this so I can, I'm going to get this, or I'm going to name it, I'm going to claim it, or whatever you might say. No, this is not giving to get. You know, giving to get is absolutely the lowest heart motive that a Christian can have, because all things are already ours. Amen? So we don't have to bribe God and say, okay, we're going to give this, Lord, and because your scripture says, if I give this, I sow this, you're going to give it right back to me. Well, there's a problem right there. You see, the motive has to be right. The motive has to be right. Giving is the lifestyle of every true believer. Giving is not something that a Christian does. That is something that a Christian absolutely is. We are givers unto God. Amen? So we need to write that down and remember that. But, you know, a lot of believers today, they consider it a loss, if you will, to give unto God. And I don't know why. Maybe because of all the high-pressure appeals from other churches they attended or whatnot. But when they know God's word, giving doesn't bother the believer at all, okay? You know, giving is never a loss, never when you give unto the Lord with a pure heart and a right heart. Amen? What did Jesus tell us in Luke 6:38? Jesus said, give, and it will be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will give into your bosom, for with this measure that you measure out, that same measure will be measured back to you. Jesus doesn't lie, loved one. Man, listen, giving unto God is one of the greatest things we can do. Now look at verse 7. So let each one, every pastor, every elder, every deacon, every Sunday school teacher, every usher, every Christian, let each one give how? As he purposes in his heart. That means no pressure. I'm not pressuring you or anything like that. It says, and not grudgingly or not out of necessity, and here's the reason why. For God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful means hilarious, okay? A joyful. I mean, let me ask you a question. When the offering went by today, did you guys start cracking up? Well, come on, let's be, you know, like, oh, I mean, just hilarious. I can't wait. Hurry up. Get it down here. Bring it back over here. I want to give again. Anybody like that? Why? Why are you not a cheerful giver? Do you love to give to God? I mean, no, you love it. You can't wait. You say, Lord, here it is. Oh, you love a cheerful giver. It says, let each one, that means to sow generously, and it tells you, and it says, and how do you do it? Not grudgingly. That word literally means, in the Greek, not out of sorrow or I regret. I'm sad that I gave those $3. Don't put pesos in the offering anymore, guys. Okay, somebody's been doing that. The bank won't. You're messing up the count, people. They're going, what is this? No. I don't know where it comes from. You see, I told you I took 2 Sudafed. I might say anything. Do you understand? But it would be better that than I can breathe. Is that, you know what I'm saying? Now, look how we're not to give. Not grudgingly, okay. And look at the next one. Not out of necessity. That word literally means a giving that grieves when you give. I'm just grieving inside. It's a joyless giving. It's a clinging to that $5 or clinging to that possessions. It's an unwilling heart to give. You know, that's not true giving, is it? That's not the lifestyle of a believer. No, listen, the joy of generosity, man. Listen, you give it and say, Lord, I purposed in my heart. This is what my offering was already ready. I mean, my heart is merry and it's glad and it's thankful that I can give that to you. That is true giving. That is true sowing and true reaping. Amen? Now, we only reap when we sow with the right motivation, meaning our heart. Now, here's what I always tell people. You know, if you can't give without grieving to God, if it's, you know, I just can't do it, you think, listen, don't give to God. Amen? Just, no, don't do it. Just say, I'm not giving to God because every time I do, it just grieves me. I go home and cry and tears roll down my eyes as I write out that $10 check. I can't have Starbucks tomorrow. And no, listen, you know, giving does not benefit God. We're in on God's economy. Do you understand? Yeah, it doesn't benefit God. It benefits you. Now, listen to me, Christian. To give grudgingly to God is an insult. It insults the Lord, I'm sure. Yeah, listen, what kind of giving does God desire? Look again at that scripture. It says that God, what? Loves a hilarious, joyful, that's what the word cheerful means, giver. Isn't it amazing that God loves us because God is love? But he says, when I see someone giving like that, and they love to give back what I've already given unto them, there's some kind of special pleasure, special love, or whatever that God has because of that. And I think that every believer today, more than any other time, should ask themselves, am I truly, do I have the joy of generosity? Am I a giver, a cheerful giver when I give to the Lord? The Bible says in Proverbs 22:9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives his bread to the poor. Proverbs 19:17, a glorious verse. That's the foundational scripture of the charity, Love Never Fails International. Proverbs 19:17, he who hath pity on the poor. The word pity means not to feel sorry for that individual. It means to have a sorrow, but you do something with that sorrow. You don't give them a hand out, you give them a hand up in life. Amen? He who hath pity on the poor, listen carefully, lends unto God. You're loaning God money. You understand? Because you're helping that individual. God loves the poor. And he said, you lend unto God, and guess what God's going to do? He says, I will pay back what you have given. That's an unbelievable scripture, and he has proved that scripture since 2004 for the charity Love Never Fails. And I look and I say, oh, listen, you know how great God is. Do you know why in over 30-some-odd years now, the other church that I pastored, this church here, I have never, not once, ever put pressure on the people of God, the sheep of God's pasture. I've never squeezed you, none of them. I've never begged for money. I've never begged for an offering. The only time I ask for an offering is for our children, right? The work in Mexico. And I'm there, definitely their voice, and I will beg for them. But I don't put pressure on you. I mean, did you feel like, you know, when the offering plate went by, boy, Bill's putting a lot of pressure on me. You didn't even know it went by. Most churches read 400 or 500 scriptures about giving before you even take up an offering. We don't do that. Why? Well, because I believe what Pastor Chuck taught us. Where God guides, he provides. Amen? Yeah. It's not going to work if I put pressure on you. I just pray that God does. See, he knows your heart. So I just turn you over to the Lord. But see, the reason that I had never done that and will never do that is because I love you. But I also love the Lord, and I love God's word. You see, if I put pressure on you to give, and then you give because I put pressure on you, or it was an emotional giving, or I squeezed you, or whatever you want to call it, then you know what? And then you gave, you're not going to reap what you sowed because it was forced out of you. Does that make sense? Oh, and I don't want you to lose and forfeit your harvest at all. Listen, out of all the people in all the planet, don't you think it's strange that we have to pressure believers or squeeze the heart of a believer to them for them to give to God? No, listen, I don't understand that. We all should be givers. Yeah, I don't squeeze sheep. I squeeze lemons. And I don't know, this second service, I kind of feel like you've been baptized in lemon this morning. Are you guys all right? It's Mother's Day, man. You need to be celebrating. Look at verse 8. And God is able, or literally, God has the power to make all grace. What a great word. Look at this. All grace abound towards you. Why? That you, Christian, always, look at these words, always having all sufficiency in how many things? All things. And look at the purpose. May have an abundance, an overflow, an exceedingly great measure, if you will, an abundance for every good work. What was the work that the Macedonian churches and the Corinthians church, what were they doing? What was their good work? They were giving to the saints in Jerusalem who were in the great famine, loved one. We have great works that God wants us to do at all. But I tell you what, I encourage you with all of my heart, please look and meditate upon this scripture in a deep, deep way, because it teaches an incredible truth that when our giving, a Christian's giving, affects, loved one, all of life. All of life. That's what that verse is saying. See, this is really reaping bountifully in this verse right here, because God says he was making all grace. Look at it. All grace abound towards you. That literally means to give the abundance of grace, or a measure of grace, to you. And how big is God's grace? It's inexhaustible, isn't it? The Bible says where sin abound, grace does much more, or super abounds. You can never, no, never in any way exhaust the grace of God, because he is the God of all grace. Amen? Listen, all grace, unconditional, unearned, undeserved, unmerited, the living, divine favor of God. It abides on you. He says, I'll make it all my grace, everything that I have in heaven, everything that I've created. He says, I'll make it abound toward you. And God's grace, loved one, listen, is every blessing and every favor and every promise that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I say, oh God, you're so good. And not only that, look at the next one. Having, it says, always having, I love it, sufficiency for all things. That doesn't mean self-sufficiency, loved one. That means Christ's sufficiency in you. God, Jesus, the hope of glory living in our hearts, amen? With Jesus, anything, we can do anything. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So it means here having that adequate resources, always having, meaning whatever you need in life and when you need it in this life. That is the result of right giving with the right heart. That's the lifestyle of the believer. That's how we sow, and that's how we reap, and that's why we should be a cheerful believer. But look again why we do this. That we may have an abundance for every, and let me add to scripture because it means the same thing, for every, not only every good work, but every kind of good work. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that we were created for good works. Amen? Yes. So there we look at this and we say, gosh, the church, the Christian, we are channels of God's grace to others, to love others, to help others. That's why we give. That's why we do the things that we do. It takes a cheerful heart to give of their finances or resources so we can feed the poor, feed children, clothe children. You know, I was going to show a picture, but I'm not going to do it today. But I had them loaded up there in the upper room. And, Stephen Carroll sent me a picture last night, afternoon. It just broke my heart. And they were just precious, these two little girls, brand new to the orphanage there in Mexico. They had nothing. I mean, they had absolutely nothing. And the orphanage didn't have the funds because, we send money every month to buy clothing for those two little girls. And Steve and Carol saw that, and they went out, and the next picture, well, first it was a picture of the two girls, then the next picture, or you're going to put it out anyway, aren't you? And the next picture was, let's see if it comes up. The next picture was of the clothing, and with a lot more clothing, but just what the yeah. You see the clothing? Aren't they precious? Isn't that, look at those girls. And I wish we could pull the girl over there on the right. I wish we could magnify that. Her face is so excited. That's what giving does. Do you understand? You see those uniforms? They had nothing to go to school in. And if, I don't know if you know it, but in Mexico, you know, and when they go to school, you don't have your uniforms. You don't have what you need. They bully you. You understand? They were weeping because of what Steve and Carol did, but they did it because you know why? You give. Thank you. You give. That's what you did. You just put clothes on there. Do you understand me? See, that's the joy of giving right there. But you know what? Cheerless hearts don't give anything. They don't help anyone. And I'll tell you, I want you to look at that scripture again there in verse 8 where it says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now listen carefully. It doesn't say that he will. Did you catch that? It says he is able. See, we have a full fountain of grace, all God's grace. He says, I want it to abound toward you. Remember this, there are always conditions sometimes in God's word. Wherever you find doctrine, you're also going to find practice. In other words, you know, if God says to do this, then we need to do this, right? Okay, now with all that being said, you will never reap if you don't sow. It's just that simple. That's what that verse said. So you must sow in order to reap, and you must do it the right way with the right kind of heart, a cheerful heart. And then God's grace is always available. If you're going through something right now and it's kind of lean, you might ask yourself, well, I think I'll look at my heart and find out whether maybe my motivation has been pretty bad. I don't even care about the offer. I put something in, don't even think about it. I haven't predetermined what I'm going to put in. I just throw something in because I'm supposed to give something. That's wrong kind of giving. Amen? It says that you purpose in your heart long. It's predetermined. You get, before you ever arrive, you already know what you want to give to the Lord. Now, with all that being said, look at verse 9, and let's see what cheerful givers do. As it is written, and he's going to quote Psalm 112, verse 9, he has dispersed abroad. That's a picture of a person, a farmer sowing seed, okay? He's dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. Now listen carefully. That righteousness here, being in right standing with God, is not justification. That's not what Paul is speaking of here. This is not say, well, I have given unto the Lord, now I am right with God, and he's really, you know, happy about it. That's not what that means at all. This word righteousness right here means you've done it the right way. You've given unto the Lord with a joy in your heart. Amen? That's what that scripture means. It says he's dispersed abroad. Or another translation says he is scattered far and wide all over the world. Or another translation says he gives generously. And that is the opposite of giving grudgingly and sowing sparingly. Look at verse 10. Now he, meaning God, who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply and multiply the seed you have sown, that's speaking of our finances, and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Now, that word righteousness again, in context, it's talking about a believer whose hands are open wide to help the poor or to give unto God. It's not talking about justification by faith or anything like that. So here, when we read this verse, it's incredible. Did you know, or do you really believe, no matter what station you are in life, everything that you have right now, and have always had, comes from the living God. That we're just a steward of what God has given unto us, isn't it? And he wants us to be faithful stewards. Now listen, God supplies the seed to the sower. We're the sowers. Where did we get the seed? God. Now, God supplied it. Thank you. Here, I made $10 this week, Lord. How much can I give you and still make it and do what I need to do? Because God gave it to me. I'm just a steward of what God has given unto me. Now, I'm going to take that seed, Lord, and I'm going to give some back to you. And look what he says he's going to do again. He says he will supply and multiply the seed you have sown. Now, listen, if there is no seed, there cannot be a crop. Does that make sense? You can't have a harvest. You have to sow. You have to give. If you want to have any kind of harvest, if you want to put a couple of seeds in, then put it in. If that's your purpose of your heart, you're cheerful about it. But if you don't sow, if you don't put a seed in, I promise you, you're not going to have a crop at all. And I tell you what, I believe this great truth. Here comes God. He says, Bill, this is what I've given you this week. Now, here's what I want you to do. Give some of it back to me. Whatever you purpose in your heart, but make sure you're cheerful. Okay, Lord, I'm taking that, and what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to give it back to the Lord, and the Lord says, oh, that's so nice. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to now multiply what you have given. Is that unbelievable? No, that's unbelievable. Listen, you know, the church is really bad in arithmetic today. They don't get it. You read John 6 when you get home about the little boy. What did he do? He just gave his lunch to Jesus, and the Lord blessed it. And I mean, did he multiply it? Hello, he fed, what, 5,000 people? Come on. Little is much when given into the hands of God. We'll only put in $10, but my heart was joyful. Well, praise the Lord. God says, I'm going to multiply what you've given. I gave the 10 to you anyway. Now I'm going to multiply right back to you. See, listen, when you give with the right motive, not giving, oh, I gave it, now I want this back. When you give with the right motive, meaning to help others, to give to the church, and you give with the right kind of heart, a cheerful heart, God says, I am going to multiply what you have given. I'm going to multiply the seed you have sown. Does this mean you're going to be rich? No, of course not. You're already rich. All things belong to you. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches. No, listen, but it does mean this, though. Whatever you do need, when you need it, you're going to have enough in this life. It doesn't mean that we're all going to be millionaires. Matter of fact, if that happened, some of us would get in deep trouble, wouldn't we? Yes, come on. No, God says, no, listen. And let me tell you something else it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you're going to go through life with rose-colored glasses and you're never going to hurt. You're never going to suffer. You're never going to have bad times. You're never going to have lean times. You are going to have those kind of times. You're going to have hard days. You're going to have hard years. But you will always make it if you are at least sowing. Does that make sense? Because God's word, he cannot lie to you, loved one. You don't ever, ever, listen to me. Don't ever be afraid to be a cheerful giver. Don't, that's the worst thing that you can do, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's amazing when I look at this word, God supplies a seed. Okay, thank you. We sow the seed. And then what does God do? Well, we sow it cheerfully, I should say. Then he turns around and he multiplies it. You remember what King David said in Psalm 37, 25? He said this, I've been young and now I'm old. I haven't got to the old part because I'm still young, but I've been young and I've been old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed or his descendants begging for bread. Man. You think that God wants for you what David had? Of course. Listen, I say it, you hear me say it, I know over and over and over, but the Lord will never forsake you. No one can snatch you out of his hands. Amen. You hear me read all the time from the Hebrews, you know, the Amplified Bible in Hebrews 13, 5 and following, where three times in the Greek, God goes, I will never, I will never, I will never leave you without support. I will never relax my hold upon you. No, never. Listen, God is so good. He is our helper. We do what he says in his word. Man, he's going to always do if we sow and our heart is right. Amen. No grudging, not out of necessity, not out of guilt, but say, Lord, it is a joy. It is a joy to put my offering that you've given me, this seed that you've given me this week, into the plate or however you want to do it. So look at the next verse there. It says, while you were made rich, that's what that word, or full supply, the word enriched means. While you were enriched, look at this now, in everything, and the reason, for all liberality, meaning being generous for everything, any kind of generosity, which causes thanksgiving to God, or thanksgiving through us to God. Now, when we receive from the Lord, you know what? We do that so we can give. We don't receive from the Lord and say, now I'm going to hoard that. That's not what we do. The result of giving unto the Lord cheerfully, again, is that he multiplies our seed, but he does it for the purpose so we can be generous over and over and over again to others. That's into the church. That's what it's about. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, 27, it says, he who gives to the poor will not lack. That word means never do without. Isn't that incredible? That's a promise. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Now look at verse 12. It says, for the administration of this service, that word service means our priestly service, okay? For this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, he's speaking now again of the church in Jerusalem, but also is overflowing or abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Listen, when we giving unto the Lord is the greatest act of worship that you can do. Amen? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:1, it says, be imitators of God as dear children. There's no one. God is the greatest giver of all. Amen? He says, why don't you imitate me? Be like me, the Lord says. That's what it's all about. You know, those offerings, that they help so many people. And he says in verse 13, and while through the proof of this ministry, meaning the evidence, the proof of this ministry, I'm going to break this down because in the Greek, man, this is a difficult scripture even to translate into English, and it doesn't make sense unless you can get the in-between lines here. So let me read it again. Though through the evidence or the proof that this service provides, it says, they, that's the saints in Jerusalem that are poor, glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ. What in the world is Paul saying? He's talking about the Corinthians, their confession, when they asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life, when they were born again, and your liberal sharing with them, again, the saints at Jerusalem, and all men, so just not them. And he says, and by their prayer for you, who long for you, because of the above measure, the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That word indescribable is only here in the New Testament. It means inexpressible. It means that there's not enough words to express Jesus Christ and what he means to us. Do you understand? In other words, human words are inadequate to express the worth and the magnificence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, Jesus, listen to me, loved one. He is the gift of all gifts. Amen? Oh, listen. When I look at this and say, oh, Lord, you are so good to me. We've come full circle. Remember, if you went back to chapter 8, I think it's verse 9, that Jesus became poor for us, that we might be rich. In other words, Jesus is our example of giving. He gave his whole life for you, for me. Amen? See, that kind of love, man, is incredible. You know, this unbelievable love that God has for us. For God not just loved the world, meaning the people of the world. He so loved the world that he did something. He gave his only begotten, his only begotten unique, if you will, Son of God. That whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God is so good. I tell you, and you're talking about a sacrifice that he made. It says in Romans 5:8, it says, but God proves, that word means, or demonstrates, the word means proves. God proves his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, in our sin, enjoying our sin, Christ died for us. I'm going to ask you a question on this Mother's Day. Do you have the joy of generosity? Next question. Are you a cheerful giver? And if you're not, and you're a believer, then why not? I want you to look one more time on this Mother's Day back to verse 7 with me, and let me read it to you one more time. So let each one give. And here's how we do it. As he purposes in his heart. And here's how we don't do it. Not grudgingly, not out of necessity, for God loves a hilarious, joyful, cheerful giver. Today is Mother's Day. I think Mother's Day is a very special day. Amen? You know, mothers, I thank God for mothers. What in the world would we do without them? But if you ever, ever needed a definition of what a mother is, you just found it right here in verse 7. A cheerful giver. That's what a mother truly is. She is a cheerful giver. And may I say this, not only mothers, most women are cheerful givers. Did you know that? I'm talking about in the church. Listen, mother defined, I would define it, a mother, the joy of a generous heart. The joy of generosity. Bill said, why do you say that? Because I tell you what I've observed all of my life, and especially in the church, filled with mothers and single mothers and so forth. You know what? A mother will do without for their children. They'll do without. They'll not buy the clothes they need. They'll not even buy the special food they want for themselves so they can provide for their children. Do you know that? I've seen things, I've seen single mothers, they work two jobs, and they don't complain about it. They're weary, they're tired, but they're going to take care of those boys, those girls. Do you understand me? See, a mother is truly, loved one, a very, very cheerful giver. A mother will suffer for their kids to get everything done. They will sacrifice again. They will pray and pray and pray. They will shed tears. They cry out to God. And they'll do anything. Why? They're cheerful givers. And they'll even lay down their life for their own children. That's why I think we should always honor mothers. Amen? You know, listen, the other night as I debated it, because I went to the Lord, Lord, do you want me to have a full Mother's Day message, or do you want me to continue part two of the joy of generosity? I felt like the Lord wanted me to not pause, but get it over with. In other words, where we keep it in context. But in the middle of the night when I woke up the other night, last night or two nights ago, I just started praying, Lord, about this Mother's Day thing. And it was like I just immediately got up and I wrote these things down about this day and about mothers. And I want y'all to listen to me very carefully. This is what I wrote down early in the morning the other day. I said, if the Church of Jesus Christ would give like mothers, cheerfully. If the church would love like mothers, if the church would care like mothers, if the church would sacrifice like mothers, if the church would pray like mothers, if the church would serve like mothers, faithful, dependable like mothers and most Christian women. Do you know that I see mothers make sure their children are in church when fathers don't? They make sure. They love the Lord, and they're cheerful givers. If we would do and be like that, love like mothers, care, sacrifice, pray, serve, be faithful, dependable, just like mothers, here's what I said. We would win this city in 7 days. Not only that, every child would go to Haltom Christian School without paying a penny. Not only that, not one person would be in debt in this church if we really did those things, if we were all cheerful givers. Not only that, this church would go out and buy and own its own assisted care living center so we can take care of the elderly when it's time, and they would be under people who would love them and care for them and really take care for them and pray over them. If we were truly Christian givers. And not only that, we would never, ever lack anything. Why? Because mothers are cheerful givers. I have to say something, guys. I've been a believer a long time. Where are the men at today, the Christian men? You know, I said women are taking the lead. I'm not beating up women. They just have to do what they have to do. They're taking the lead in serving. They're taking the lead in working and planning. And they have become the spiritual leaders of their own home because a husband has abdicated that role. That's not what God wants you to do, man. He wants you to be the spiritual leader. You know, the fifth commandment, the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. Remember what it is? Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God is giving you. It's repeated again in Ephesians 6:2. It's the only commandment with a blessing, with a promise attached to it. It says, sons, daughters, you better honor your mama. You better treat her right. God says, I want you to treat your mother right. You know what the word honor means? The word honor means to treat as precious. We get our English word ornament. It means that we treat our moms like a treasure, like a treasure. I pray that all of you are doing that. Maybe your mom's already gone to be home with the Lord, you know, or whatnot. And I heard a woman say the other day, I wish heaven had visiting hours. And I said, what? And it was really cool. She said, because I'd love to go see my mother. Man, it got me. No, listen, you know, love, honor your mother. You know, I never really had a mom or a dad. Matter of fact, today's Mother's Day, May 12, 1963, was the day my mother died. She was killed in a car wreck. Two drunks hit her out there in Grand Prairie, killed her. And, you know, I don't know that I ever honored my mother, and I don't know that I ever honored my father. I guess I really wanted to, but I didn't know them that well. I never heard them tell me that they loved me, but I'm sure they must have told me. But I don't know that. Honor your mother. This is Mother's Day. You know, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was when a woman, 18 years older than me, came down to the jail at Fort Worth when I was 14 years old. And she got me out of jail, signed paperwork to take me, and raised me from the time I was 14 and forward. That was my sister. I tell you what, I love her. Great woman. But she's my sister. But I'll tell you what, God knew exactly what to do. She's the meanest thing you've ever seen. And God knew that to straighten out little Billy, you're going to need somebody strong. I don't even mess with her today. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. She's 80. She turns 89, I think, this 88 or whatever it is this week. Still plays golf. Goes out and cuts down trees around a property. Wears a hard hat, tool belt. You don't mess with her. Honor your mother. Honor them. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that mothers truly are cheerful givers. I'm thankful for them, Father. I pray over them that their hearts, maybe their children, maybe they're estranged, separated, and they're not going to be calling. I don't know. I hope that's not the case. If it is, Lord, would you comfort their hearts? Because nobody loves like a mother. Nobody cares like a mother. Bless them this day, Lord. Bless them. Let their day be flooded with grace and joy. And Lord, we love you today. We praise you today. We give you honor today. And we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. You know, I encourage you to go back through as we're standing. We're going to be dismissed in just a minute.